I think you're our first non-American, right?
Well, really? Shane.
Oh, yeah.
We're not counting Shane. We know Shane's Canadian. We're not counting him. Sorry, so, that was a little rough.
You heard it here first, Shane Kipple. Avis hates you. Don't
count, Shane. You don't count. No, I love you, Shane. You just don't count.
Hello and welcome to the 7th episode of season 4 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we are joined by Michaela Woods of Dreamscape Tattoo Studio in Smithvale, Ontario, to discuss Degrassi season 4, episode 9, Back in Black. Hi, Michaela. Thanks for coming.
Hey, Michaela.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us a bit about you, who you are, what you do, what your Degrassi relationship is.
Okay, so I own a tattoo studio here in Smithville, soon to be the only tattoo studio here in Smithville.
That's exciting.
Yeah, the guys down the street are moving away, so swooped in there. We are an all-female run shop, and I am also part of the LGBTQ plus community, so we have a lot of that going for us, as a lot of tattoo shops are not very welcoming places, unfortunately, around here. So we kind of wanted to change the game with that a little bit and, you know, cater. We're all also moms, all of the tattoo artists and our piercer. We're all moms, which is awesome.
So, nice. You know,
yeah. Yeah, I have a 4-year-old daughter named Piper, and you best believe she's going to love Degrassi when she's a little bit older. I just grew up with Degrassi, and it's always just stuck with me. It's one of those shows that I will binge over, especially Next Generation, over and over and over again. And I always refer back to it. And people look at me like I have 3 heads, and then they'll be like, oh, wait a second, that show that Drake's in, right?
Yeah, that's always, yeah.
That's exactly what
it is. Yes, that's the show, guys. But also, like, so many other better people are in this show, just saying.
No, and actually
like everyone else.
Fun bit for you guys. My coworker, China, formerly China Steele, is cousin Cassie Steele. She said that I think they've only met a couple times, and she's like, Cassie doesn't even remember me. But when she told me that, I actually reached. Yeah, I'm like,
I love that.
That's really cool.
Like, you guys and your Canadian ways and I love that, though. That's a small world sort of deal.
It so is. Cool. It really is. But yeah, so that's me.
Well, welcome. We've been chatting a little bit, and it's happy to, because I have not met you. I've not corresponded with you. Caroline, if you guys don't know, is the one who coordinates everything. Our skill sets match up so lovely. So she coordinates and schedules, and like, I do all the editing hermit stuff.
I love it.
And it just ends up working out. But like, you know, it's great to officially like meet you, not over like 2 or 3 emails. So
yeah,
I'm happy that you're here. And I only have one tattoo, but honestly, I would come to you because I feel like I feel like it matters where you get your tattoos. I feel like that's important.
Yeah.
It matters to me who touches my hair, and like my, you know, something that's going to be on my body forever is a similar thing to that. So,
yes.
I would definitely travel. I will travel.
Well, but like, let's manifest our going,
our pilgrimage
to Toronto.
Yes, our pilgrimage to Toronto. So,
yeah.
By way, absolutely come and get some more ink, because I've been wanting some more tattoos, plural. Just haven't.
Well, let's make it happen.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's do it. And I'm an indecisive bitch, so I'll probably decide the day.
I have to see my Degrassi flash sheet. I just posted it.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just waking up from that nap though, so I was like, I will look at this more.
I love how you treat yourself and take so many naps. You're like, I'm doing this for myself and my health.
I'm self-employed. I'm going to take a nap.
I work from home. I take all the naps I require, but I've actually been pretty good. I haven't been hitting that midday slump these days. But
when I first started doing real estate, I was like, wow, I'm sick like all the time now. And then I realized that it wasn't that. It was that for the first time in my life, I was like letting myself rest when I wasn't feeling well, instead of like, I used to brag about the fact that I once worked a week of open to closed doubles with a combination of kidney stones, my period, and a flu.
Yeah, no, Caroline, that's not a flex.
It's not, but we're taught that it is.
We are. No, it's definitely not the vibe to like overwork yourself and to tell yourself or literally do harm to your body for any sort of.
No, take a nap instead.
Take a nap. Yes. But this has been Mental Health Corner. We are going to roll into the film whenever you are ready, Michaela.
Michaela, if you want to hit us with the.
Okay, perfect. All right. This makes me giggle.
It does me too every time I go in cold. I don't even read it before.
All right. Roses are red. Toby's got confusion grief. Sean takes to jet skiing to get some relief.
He takes to jet skiing for like 2 seconds. Yeah.
We're going to talk about it.
We are.
So in the wake of the shooting, everyone at Degrassi is wrestling with heavy and confusing feelings, especially Sean and Toby. Despite what Rick did, he was Toby's friend, and Toby is struggling to reconcile his anger with his grief. Meanwhile, Sean is threatening to break under a combination of the pressure of his newfound hero status and the trauma of thinking he may have killed Rick.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is even with the angry jet skiing.
Oh my God.
Which I think falls into the Degrassi awkward run category. I'm counting it as an awkward run.
Yeah, let's.
It's my favorite of all of the Degrassi awkward runs.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Why does that man literally grab a jet ski and like run into the ocean?
Right. Well, and then he like falls off the jet skis. Dead man's floating immediately.
I clapped it. It was literally like less than like 40 seconds that he was on. He was not on there very long. And I'm like, I've been on a jet ski. It is terrifying when you go above like 10 miles per hour and he just like popped some waves and like. He was going at least 30 and then flew off. Like, it just was kind of like, that man should have been like, he was completely okay. And I'm happy he was okay. But like, the wind should have been knocked out of him at the very least because of how fast all of that happened. That shit was like, if you blink, you miss it. Like, if you turn and get some ice or something and you turn back, you're like, why is the face down?
Did Sean just die?
Did Sean just die? Did he just off? Like, what happened?
I know he's dealing with his emotions, but it was giving a bit of a toddler tantrum to me, the way he stormed out there.
Ellie's literally standing there, like, her hands out, like.
She got the ick, for
like,
sure.
I'm sorry, what? Did my boyfriend just run into the ocean? Don't judge Ellie. In a couple seasons. You're gonna be right along with his ass running into the ocean for a dumb reason. Well, actually, no, for him it's a little bit, they're both good reasons.
Ellie lost her balloon, so she wanders into the ocean. Fuck off.
She's also dealing with her dad returning perfectly, possibly healthily from the war. Okay,
did he come back or did he die?
No, he's
home. Or am I confusing her with Emily from Pretty Little Liars?
You're confusing her with Emily from Pretty Little Liars.
He was a way hotter military dad. Why couldn't Mr. Nash have died instead?
Justice for Emily's
Wainfields.
Dad. Yes. Yes, Wainfields, because he was killed off screen in a time jump.
And he was far and away the hottest of the Pretty Little Liar dads.
He was
hot.
Show.
To collect their couple. Her parents were hot. Like, uh-huh. I'm sorry. Her mom was a bitch. Yeah. She was hot.
But she was hot. I mean, no shit. They made fucking Emily Fields.
Right? Like, this is a believable production, okay? No, I'm just, it's not okay. I agree with the toddler tantrum because, yeah. Like, come on now, Sean. He's just upset because he got dimed out by that guy, by Tyler. Tyler's like, yeah, I stole your lunch money, bitch.
Okay, can we talk about that? Because what I don't understand, Ellie's like, your stories don't exactly mesh up. And in a way where it's like, it sounds like she's trying to say, like, Sean just attacked this kid for no reason. Yeah. But Sean said this kid jumped him. And then the kid's like, I don't want to take your lunch money again, which implies to me that the kid is saying he jumped him. So, what isn't meshing up, Ellie? Do you know what words are?
Yeah. I did not.
I think she's like, okay, so if you were the one that was tougher in the situation, why is he saying... like that he used to kick your ass or something like that and take your money.
Yeah, but,
but ultimately he is saying that he was tougher. Ultimately he was tougher. Like, is it a little bit of a bitch move to sucker punch someone in the ear and then like flee town?
He didn't flee town. He was sent away. And that's another thing that I want to bring up is when Jay's like, so he got half deaf and you got sent back to Degrassi, Tracker. What's wrong with Tracker?
What's wrong with student welfare? He says student welfare too. Like, Jay, what's wrong with that?
He's doing great.
He's got a little like cushy apartment that he doesn't clean the floors of. He does not mop any or sweep these floors. There's no milk in the fridge. There's only chocolate milk. But he's living, okay? And I don't know why that's the issue. Like, he's the one in the bad situation.
I was going to say, like, do you have any idea how expensive hearing aids are? But then I remembered they're Canadian. So
they're Canadian. Like $7. You guys are your Canadian, y'all. Y'all, yeah. I think you're our first non-American, right?
Well, really? Shane.
Oh, yeah.
We're not counting Shane. We know Shane's Canadian. We're not counting him. Sorry, that was a little rough.
You heard it here first, Shane Kipple. Avis hates
you. Don't
you
count, Shane. You don't count. No, I love you, Shane. You just don't count. No, I really just mean, like, it's cool to have a genuine Canadian. Like, he's not. He's a genuine Canadian person.
I don't know. Tyler kid does not look tough at all.
No. I could eat him for breakfast.
He's got a little pecked, like, his chest is not, the pecs haven't arrived yet. He still looks like he's in development, which I suppose, in a way, he's supposed to be in development, but, like, he doesn't like look, teenagers. But Sean...
He doesn't look like the kid who's, like, jumping kids in the alleyway.
And Sean looks older than him. Sean looks like he, you know, has got more weight on him. He looks heavier than him. He looks, like, more...
Yeah.
Like, he could kick his ass. Yeah. Like, I believe that. I think that Tyler's one of those people who has a big mouth until it's time to actually fight. And then he's like, well, we can just keep talking.
Right.
Just kidding.
The way he, like, wordlessly comes out of his little rental hut to kick Sean's ass. And then I love after he rescues Sean and they're both like sitting in the sand and they just kind of exchange this knot. Like, we're cool now.
This is like the broest, like the dudest thing I've ever seen, because just the wordless nod, like, we've both lost something here to
our dignity. So
we are even. It's the worst. The worst. Oh my gosh. And like, but can I say that like Wasega Beach looks beautiful? It looks like a really nice, like, you got like what looks to be a nice city across the water that presumably isn't too far. But then you got a beachy area. I mean, we only see the trailer park
like neighborhood wise, but like it actually does not look like a bad trailer park. So I really, once again, Jay with the asshole comments, it doesn't, it's not a bad trailer park.
Hey, what's wrong with Tracker, and why are you too bougie for a trailer park, Jay?
Why are you, Jay, too bougie for a trailer park? Because I'm pretty sure it looks better than the house that he, or the apartment that he was living in with Tracker.
Yeah,
that was like a shack. That, and it also looked fake. It also looked like a set. So
yeah, way back we talked about the fact that like his house with Tracker doesn't look like there's like anything once you open the door. Like it's just
it just looks like a set. Looks like a facade house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why he won't let Emma inside.
You can't come in because you'll see we have no walls in the back. But we don't usually talk about the A plot. Look at us. First,
no, yeah, but it makes sense.
It does make sense. It's really what's happening.
Well, and I honestly, as much as there is a clear A plot, B plot, I feel like it's all kind of one thing.
It is. I just have the, I feel like once again, okay, on the Great Emma divide, what are your battle lines? Are you an Emma stan? Do you like Ashley? Do you want justice for Hazel? Do you like, where do you stand?
You know, I don't know. I might get canceled for saying I don't love Emma very much.
This is an Emma Nelson slander podcast, so you're good.
You're in beautiful company here. Yeah,
she's quite selfish, you know, and not just like in my selfish era. Like, I mean, like she just doesn't give a fuck about anybody but herself. And Ashley kind of drives me crazy, you know? Like,
love it.
How do you feel about Ellie?
You know, I really girls, girl, but some of the girls on Degrassi, not so much. Like, you know, Ellie's okay. She's a bit whiny and misguided. I think she just needs somebody to just slap her in the face really hard and tell her to pull herself together. You know,
Marco should do that on occasion. I think he would have fun with it.
I realized on this watch through that this is when my like dislike for Ellie really started when I was younger, because like, and it's not her fault that she's not suited to help Sean through this, but she's just so glaringly bad at it.
Leaves in a huff, another toddler tantrum.
Right. The fact that she's so mad that he needs to stay behind. Like, I get being sad, but come on, Ellie.
Yeah. Can I say
that? Not the first
time
Anne's left you.
Okay.
Can
I? I know.
Well, and Marco.
And Marco. Can I say though that her saying, "Let's get you out of here," has always deeply, deeply upset me, and I don't know why. I don't know why that line in particular. Like, maybe just how she's like sure that it went badly, and she doesn't even really ask him how it went. She's just like, let's get you out of here. These horrible people, these terrible folks. I would kick their ass if I knew how to kick somebody's ass.
She wants to be a speaker so bad.
Yeah, and it's like she's not reading the room, but I think that that's one of my...
Which, by comparison, like, okay, Emma is a bit much for me in that scene where she walks into Snape's classroom and she sees Sean, and she's like, Sean.
She is. You saved my life.
I also get she has just been through this huge trauma.
She's selling it. The rent is due, Miriam, huh?
When there it was Sega, like, no, she's solid for Sean in this episode.
And she even tells Ellie to be like
calm the fuck down.
He's been needed to confront his parents. Like, this has been, I've been wanting him to do this shit since we first. Like,
right, we'd still be together if he had done this in grade 8, bitch.
Yeah, there's definitely like Emma just, I think that this is gonna ring true about her coping mechanism. She has like the times when she is like vulnerable and weepy, but by and large she's doing a lot of unhealthy things to like cope, because I don't think for her that the crying really does anything. So, like, for some people, it's like a catharsis, and like talking about it is helpful. But it seems like for her, it's like doing something is the helpful thing, not emoting and crying and
doing something like sucking Jay's dick at the ravine. What?
Well, yeah. She's gotta go to Wasega Beach about it, or she's gotta
go to the ravine about it.
That's better than I was gonna say.
What is that?
I was surprised she didn't hop on the back of that jet ski.
Yeah.
Take me with you. I'm the king of the world. Yeah, no. I feel like it's very much funny that Emma just happened to be there and just, right at the same time to just hop in the wagon. Like, and she just, Emma, are you coming or what? Well, there's a fourth seat. Might as well hop my ass in. Like, what the fuck? Like, they just want to have her involved so bad.
Yep.
It does make sense, though, because she was there, and she and Sean have the history, and...
Here's the thing. It always makes sense. I'm realizing that. I'm not going to fight you on it anymore, because the last, like, three times this season, this is, like, the third time that I've said...
And Emma's just there.
Emma's just there, but you're like, but it does make sense. And I'm like, you're right, but I'm still upset.
Like, signs to Hazel instead.
Can we do something else?
No, we're just gonna stop letting her have her natural hair and have her cry a bunch.
And just have her in the most, like, extra looking clothing. Some of the extras have cuter clothes than they've been tossing Hazel. Episode before last, she made my shit list. She's just like, they're basically fading her ass out. Because she got her big moment.
They never, like, really turned her light on to begin with.
They were never like, go for Hazel. Lights up on Hazel. Like, they were just... Yeah, you forget she's there. She wasn't Jimmy's girlfriend. What would she really have to do this season?
Right.
Nothing.
No, and I love, like, her boyfriend gets shot. And we Where still the fuck don't is she? Get any Hazel.
You we see her Marco. Right, we get Marco. Like, I love Marco, but I've always been like, Marco,
you're so extra.
It's the mask. Okay, where the fuck did you get this mask? You thieved this from the drama department. Like, I'm doing a thing. I need it. Shut up.
Look, school shootings were barely a thing in America at this point, which means that in Canada, they were like, you didn't even dream of them. There was no guidebook on what to do in the wake of something like this. So they was trying.
And I know Sean Radich so came much more to counseling. No, I know Radich came to Sove and was like, I need you to take point on this. And she's like, I'm just a school guidance counselor.
Like, I'm really just supposed to be helping these kids, like, pick colleges and shit.
Like, deal with, like, the ups and downs of, like, minor pubescent issue, whatever. Like, I'm not supposed to be doing trauma therapy in a group setting.
Right.
You need to bring someone else in for this. He's like, we don't have the budget. We're a community school. We give away tickets to, like, concerts and shit. But we don't have the budget for this. Sorry. You're going to have to do it.
Hold a fucking fundraiser, Daniel.
It's so bad. Sean's over it, though. And, like, low-key, she's like, he's addicted to chocolate milk.
He's itching.
Right? He's like, I haven't had chocolate milk in about an hour. I need some chocolate milk. It's so much... But, like, I think that the tone is not supposed to be campy during this whole thing. That's not what they were going for, but that's what it's giving.
That's what it's giving, for sure. That's good. And I will not laugh at these parts because I'm like, oh, you know, this is, like, real grief. This is how people deal with grief. But I deal with grief and trauma. I laugh. So I'm, like, the worst person going to a funeral. Like,
me too. Oh, I'm bad with that. I laugh at the worst times. I have laughed at a funeral before. Well, a couple. It's not... fun to be that person, but it's also, like, really, I don't know if it's necessarily fun to be the person who's all melodramatic, like, committed to, like, the, I call it the Victorian mourning period. Like,
yes.
I have a friend with whom, like, if one of us loses someone,
we're usually each other's like first call or one of the first calls. Mm-hmm. And like when my brother died, I called her and I said, "Hey, knock, knock." And she just immediately was like, "Oh, God damn it. Who's there?" I said, "Not my brother."
Yes. Oh.
She has a dead brother too. So like,
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, no, so Bae's trying.
She is. And
statements I like. Like I think is helpful in like helping these kids figure out how to process these big feelings. Mm-hmm. But the mask is so extra. And like, why did we do this?
The mask is extra. And it's also like, why is Sean there? Sean should be in his own session.
Right. Yeah. And not one-on-one. Sean needed to be in therapy since like grade 7, take 2, though.
Yeah.
This kid should have been in counseling for a very long time.
Yes. Yes. It's a shame. It's like, I wouldn't want to, if I'm the one who literally just like feels like I might have possibly killed someone. I don't know how that feels.
School.
You're at school, Sean. You're
another crime. Here you go.
Right. Like you're just walking like it's a regular day. Like someone didn't just mop the blood up, you know, however long ago. Like it's a mess. And it's like he is not being treated like he went through a similar trauma as Jimmy. Yeah. When he did.
He did. Yep. I mean, it's a completely different trauma.
But he still was like physically close to he wasn't sure if he got shot.
Well, and consider someone like Sean, who for so long has been told, you're a bad kid. Mm-hmm. And now he's potentially killed somebody. And like, yes, in this particular situation, like, you killed somebody and that's not great, but like you didn't do a bad thing. This wasn't you being a bad kid, but somebody's dead potentially because of you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, really ultimately because of his actions, but you might've been the one to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, that's heavy. That's heavy for anybody. And that's really heavy for somebody like Sean, who I think is ultimately a sweet, sensitive boy.
Yes.
Who's been told forever that he's a bad kid.
All he wanted was his damn parents. That's how I know that boy is so sweet. You know that his mom had chocolate milk on deck for him.
Yeah, she probably makes vodka into it.
You know what, Caroline? Now that, I've never liked chocolate-based drinks, okay? So gag me. But to feed vodka or vodka-laced or whatever alcohol-laced chocolate milk to your child in grieving, this will not be a cycle, Caroline. I feel like this. Take the edge off. No.
I really like Sean's parents too. Like they're a lot, and they kind of suck. But then he's like, I fucking need you guys. And they're there. Even his shitty asshole dad is like, oh fuck.
Yeah. This shitty asshole dad is like.
He comes around very quickly. He's like, oh, this is not a lot to do here. My kid is having a hard time. And like, I'm here for you, son.
Right. They definitely band together for him. And it's like, he needs to be like in a place where he can just fall apart and kind of build himself. Like the parental like influence cannot be underestimated, like how much your parents can heal you if you have that relationship with them. I think Sean once had that relationship with them when it counted, and that's why he's able to go back now, which I think is real, because like I love Sean. I think that I never liked him with Emma past a certain point. They needed to stop. Not my thing. But as a character, as his own standalone character, I've always loved what they've chosen to do with him and the emotions they've chosen to like give him to work through. And something like this is like, I can't imagine literally feeling someone's blood on me, you know, like that sort of emotional experience. And then having all of I feel like he's just not an emotional guy, and having all this emotion thrown at him too, like, he's like, I can't deal with this. I need to go home. Like, I need my parents, because I physically can't handle all the emotion that's being thrown at me. Specifically by Emma. I feel like Emma really just shoots emotion into him, but like, and I think he's specific, you know, he did save Emma's life. So he's got to deal with all of her feelings too. And she's got a lot of them. But like you said, she does kind of separate herself once she's emoted it, but I think it still weighs on him to be that.
She's just staring at him through the window in like classic Emma lurking fashion.
Not even a wave.
No. She's like just silent staring with a hint of judgment.
Yeah, like let's hit this old dusty trail, Jay. Like she does, like, and very, very funny. The stone, like, poker face that she has through this whole, like, aside from getting buried under the sand, like, she's completely like on robot status. Like, she is not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Emma's kind of. I think low key, she might not even like. Be all the way tuned in, like I know I dissociate like crazy, and I don't even have any active trauma right now. I mean, obviously trauma's forever, but it's not active. But on a general, like, I have to fight not to dissociate sometimes. So I would think that after something like that traumatic happens, she's probably like fighting not to clock out a little bit. Yeah. So that might be part of it. And maybe, you know, that I feel like I try to give Emma her due. She's not annoying here. I think she does a good job of like curtailing in her emotions, but she's going to start doing some shit that I got to talk about later, and it's not this episode, so I'm good. So excited. But can I talk about JT?
Yeah, is there anything more to say on the A plot, or I think we kind of covered that.
I feel like it. Michaela, do you have anything?
Honestly, no, I think we talked about pretty much everything there. Yeah.
I will say, I wish, like, I'm glad Sean went home to Wasega. It's where he needs to be. I wish that we had spent more time exploring this particular trauma of like doing the right thing, but in doing the right thing, hurting somebody, and like,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah. Just Ellie already has so many abandonment issues, like so many.
Well, ask me if I give a fuck.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Oh my gosh. I feel so. I don't. We haven't said it in a while because I think I've just been shitting on Ellie, and it's just been hard not to. But Caroline is supposed to be finding the good in Ellie.
No,
she's been unable to. I am supposed to be trashing Ellie because I actually came. I do like Ellie. I still think I like Ellie. I think at this point I'm gonna walk away from my critical rewatch feeling like she's like that annoying like. Person I used to hang out with when I was younger that I used to like, and then I hang out with at a different time and I'm like, why did I like you?
Yeah,
I don't have too many of those people. I would say I have one of those people in my life, and it's so weird because like we were so good.
Yes,
we and not to, I'm not a mean girl, guys. That person knows who they are. Okay, I'm not a dick. I'm not. Like the vibes are off, man. They're not the same.
It's not that I'm supposed to be seeing the good in Ellie, it's that I'm supposed to be showing her grace. I tried.
Right, grace.
I tried. Grace is gone. Just like Sean Cameron.
I think you just have no patience for like her alcoholic mother.
It's not and her even self-harm no, it's
adjacent.
No,
from that.
It's not that. It's her selfishness. It's her like. I get this is like a really heavy thing that like, how the fuck do you navigate this? But like, she's just at every turn, not the support that Sean needs and is like upset about the fact that she's not the support that he needs.
Yeah.
So I brought it up last episode before last, and I felt like we saw some light to this and you agreed with me, because I do feel like she held Sean down for at least an episode, and we got to go by the episodes, okay? When she Jay held, was...
Yeah.
Yeah. So she... But she was trying
that
to
was
be...
That was season three, Ellie. That was season three, Ellie. Season
but we've
four,
got...
Ellie.
It's a Well, okay. That's fine. That's fine.
And I said, like I said, this is, I think, the episode where when I was a kid watching it, I started
You were like...
Ellie.
It's fine. I think that there's really just one more storyline that I've got to experience through the critical lens to really know. She's got like one and a half more storylines, something like that.
Before she loses her balloon and wanders into the ocean.
So
very much a pick me. She's the OG pick me girl. Trying not to be, but she is.
There's a little bit of pick me there, but that's never really been what I would use to describe Ellie. I think she just sucks. She's a try hard. There's a reason she and Ashley are besties. Like,
she would like to be chosen.
Yep.
But she would also do anything within her means to be chosen.
Okay, fair.
But I think that when it comes to Sean, she doesn't really have anything to stay. You know, you can't compete with somebody who wants to go home to their parents. I'm sorry. If they feel that way, then you've already lost them. And you best just wave them goodbye. But she had no real...
Or stare awkwardly out of the teardrop window.
She had no... Or you could do that. She had no leverage, though. So it's like... You know, put yourself in her shoes. She's got a dirty, you know, floored apartment that she shares with her boyfriend of like 6 months, four months, some months. I don't know. Months. The grassy timelines suck.
They're always wearing jackets. So you
right?
have no
I have no fucking idea. They say it's summer. I don't believe you. But it's like... she's going home to a ferret and an empty apartment.
Yeah.
Like, after a trauma that she was not involved in.
No.
But that everybody around her is currently knee deep in.
Right,
literally
and she
everybody
can't
else.
Even move back in with her drunk mom because her drunk mom's
in rehab. So she has nowhere to go. And, Ashley's household is a little busy because not only did they all love Jimmy, they all like there's also contention because Rick's best friend, aka
Toby's
the only friend. Sorry, Toby's best friend. No, I'm gonna stick by that. Rick's best friend, Toby. His only friend is currently staying in the house with. In that situation, it's like it's a weird vibe over there. Why would she?
Yeah.
She can't go there. I don't even know if the welcome mat is as open as she made it, though.
Like, well, we haven't really seen her hanging out with Ashley this season.
Not
yeah,
really.
So, all right, fine.
Ellie's kind of fucked, you know? Ellie's kind of like, well, I bought a ferret. I thought we were locked in. And you're just going to leave me with the fucking rent?
She should have just
wrote it. You could have stayed at Wasega Beach.
You know what? You know what Ellie's motto is going forward? Ain't nothing going on but the rent. That's how she feels. Because she's like, bitch, I'm out here struggling, having to pay all $32 of this like student welfare money.
She doesn't have student welfare.
Okay, so how is she going to stay there?
Her mommy pays for it.
I know. I'm just saying, I actually did forget that, but I know that it works out eventually, but it's like, from where she's at right now, it's kind of a shit position. She's kind of in a shitty position, and she kind of has every reason to be like, I know you're in trauma right now, I know you just literally like...
But like, we have a whole life.
We have a whole life and a ferret and some rent at home.
And
rent at
he didn't
home.
Want a ferret.
He did not.
She
was puzzled by the ferret. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think agree that the ferret is a, like, you can talk about the rent, fine, Ellie, but he is not the father of this child. And he is not a doting stepfather, okay?
Yeah. It's like, I have to play a little bit of devil's advocate because ain't nobody else gonna for this young lady. But it's like, you know, it's kind of a shitty vibe. Even if you're a grown ass woman, that sucks. What, we go on a road trip so you can talk to your shitty ass parents and then you end up staying there?
Yeah, okay, fine. I get it. And I get being upset by it. I just think don't be like so bitchy about it.
Leave with a smile, bitch.
No, I'm not saying leave with a smile, but don't leave in like a pissy little huff of getting in the car.
I would probably be like, listen, I want to let you know this is extremely fucked up and I'm not happy about this, but you need to do what you need to do. So
you're going to need to commit student welfare fraud, okay?
You said you run me those checks.
Ellie Nash, student welfare queen.
I think if he did that, I think if he just was like, listen, I will still, you know, you could still collect the checks.
Right.
I will just sign them. We'll be fine. Just like forge my signature. It's fine. It's fine.
No, because he has to be like going to school and making good grades or he loses his student welfare.
That's true. He's lost it already. Damn it. She's fucked.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like Simpson would help her forge that. Maybe not.
Simpson would possibly lie to the government.
Yeah.
You don't like Sean that much.
Sean just saved his daughter's life. Sean can ask Snake for anything right now. No. Sean could be like, I'm going to steal your laptop again and you're going to be fine with it. And
Snake would be like, okay. I'm going to steal your laptop again and you're going to be fine with it.
Snake would be like, well, I don't have cancer anymore. So like, fine.
I'm fucking done. Oh my gosh.
Did you want to transition to the B plot?
Yeah, this B plot.
One of my favorite B plots.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah, I think it's one of the heavier B plots. I think it's one mm-hmm. of the more like nuanced B plots. I think this particular mm-hmm. kind of grief is something that I think about a lot. Mm-hmm. Because like I feel for Rick's mom. And obviously mm-hmm. Rick's mom fucked up plenty because we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Without some parental fuck-ups.
Yeah.
But, like, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. was her kid.
Right.
And she's never going to be able to, like, talk about her kid.
Right.
And the grief or the way that he used to put on plays when he was a little kid or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody else is just going to see him as that kid that shot Drake.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's hard and that's sad and incredibly lonely. People deserve to grieve regardless of who they're grieving, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
I think we're more than the sum of the worst parts of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that that's why I really appreciate, because, you know, JT's just on my shit list. He still is. We'll get to the actual shit list later. But I feel like he just was not empathizing with the human aspect of the situation.
Not
and
yet.
That can be very hard to do, especially as an adolescent. But to not be able to, like, for him to have to be a little bit basically bullied into it and reminded of why he was broken up with to come right. to come around and realize I'm a piece of shit. And it's like, I wanted to hate him for him coming forward and him saying, you know, when Rick's, I especially love when Rick's mom is like, you were a friend of Rick's. And he says it was a tragedy, really. Like he takes a pause and then he says it was a tragedy. Like I appreciate that he doesn't lie.
He says, like, it doesn't matter how I felt about Rick. This mm-hmm. shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know, right. We see a lot of maturity from JT in this moment. It's mm-hmm. this moment, and it's when his relationship with Paige. And those are the mm-hmm. only two things that, like, I love about JT. And I really love those things about JT.
Right. It's like when he gets it very well. And I definitely think it's, because it's like, it's one thing to say it to your friends and be like, it doesn't matter what I thought of Rick, but it's another thing to look his mom in the eye and be able to like not lie.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like, I feel like some people lie for all different kind of reasons, to spare feelings, to, you know, make someone feel better. But like, I do believe in that whole, I'd rather, you know, make someone or angry with the truth than comfort them with a lie, especially at this time when she knows her son is someone that a lot of people hated. For him to be like, I did not, you know, she can probably guess that they didn't have a good relationship, but for him to still be like,
she knows.
Well, right. So it's like
more powerful that, like,
right.
Yeah.
That he tells the truth and he's like, it, you know, it was a tragedy and I'm sorry. Just, I respect that. Like, I respect him showing up for Toby, but I respect him being able to face Rick's mom as somebody who didn't care for her son.
It's a very emotionally complex moment when she asked him that, and they delivered it so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love her too. The actress is great, because it's like, you know, she, her little like head nod when she shakes his hand and, or no, she hugs him.
Yeah.
Like she, like you said, she knows, and it's powerful for her to still be like, you know, I appreciate you, your words and everything and the sentiment, even though my son didn't have many friends.
Yeah.
Right.
That must be very hard as a parent. I can't imagine, like, I mean, obviously there's enough serial killers and people who have killed people in the world to, and they all have parents. So it's like, how do you feel about your child? You probably have to be, well, I mean, Michaela, you're a parent. How would you, I guess, like, parent spotlight? Like,
yeah,
like,
it would be so conflicting, honestly, because that's your kid at the end of the day. And I know, like, as a mom, I would be like kept up at night thinking, well, where the hell did I go wrong? There are these cases, and, you know, I actually worked with children for 10 years prior to being a tattoo artist. And so I worked with lots of children with lots of different needs, and I've had some children who have had like the best parents. And they were unfortunately just lost causes. And I've tried explaining that to some people too, because they're like, oh, obviously they're a brat. Obviously their parents don't try. And I'm vividly seeing this. I'm like, no, I can see it with my own eyes. Like, this child is just going on a path of mayhem and there's no stopping them at all.
Right.
It's quite scary to see. And it's really sad too, because, you know, parents sometimes just kind of give up, because that's their only choice, is to just kind of give up on them. Like, again, as a parent, like, I couldn't imagine doing that, like giving up on my child, but you get to a point of exhaustion almost. You have an aggressive child and this and that. And, you know, we saw obviously that aggression from Rick, and it's hard to think, like, 'cause the mom, you know, who knows, obviously they don't show much of her screen time, but it's definitely a tricky position. I've seen some, you know, aggression in children, and their parents are trying so hard, and there's like a point of no return almost. And you know, you can just be like, oh, you are going to try and shoot up a school when you're older. You can actually see it at a very young age, and there are parents who will get the kids the help that they need, and then there are parents who just don't care at all, unfortunately.
Well, and like, for some kids, there's not enough help. There's out there, like, it doesn't exist.
It's not enough.
Exist. Yeah, until they do something at a school for kids with behavioral issues, and like, some of them come from rough homes, and some of them don't.
Yeah,
and they just have some sort of something going on.
Yeah,
because I think, like, at the end of the day, you're raising someone who has autonomy, hopefully, you know, like, you've empowered them to be their own person, and unfortunately their own person is gonna make choices and do things that ultimately you hope that you've steered them away from, but they're their own person at the end of the day, which is really scary, but I feel like it's
I feel like it's pretty clear, you know, I'm at the point where all of my friends are parents. So they're all telling me like, yeah, you know, it's very clear from the beginning that you are not running the show. Mm-hmm. There is another person here, another personality with wants and preferences and desires and dislikes and all of this stuff that you have to deal with even before they can talk. Yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, it just continues to become clear when they get older that you, you know, guide them and you hopefully set them on a path that you feel is right, but like they will go where they may, and it's like you hope that you provided the tools.
External influences. Yeah,
there are external influences.
Only so much control of.
Yeah. Right.
Not a lot of people. A lot of people realize that how many parents of people who have committed suicide who didn't even know their child was being bullied at school. Mm-hmm. Right. They don't come and they don't have that kind of relationship, or they just keep it to themselves. And that's the thing when you see interviews with either a child that's committed suicide or a child that's shot up the school. Like a lot of the time they're like, oh, they were severely bullied at school. And like the school just does fuck all about it.
Unfortunately. Right. Yeah.
And that's I like the with Simpson in there, and he's like, how can we prevent this from happening? Did you feel out of control? And he was actually asking the questions that needed to be asked. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. It was too late.
Right. But,
you know, it's...
And Toby going through that, though. Like, Toby being like, firsthand, I know that... Because they must have had these conversations off screen.
Yeah.
About him going to Radich and everything and wanting to... talk and being like, this is an issue I'm having with Jimmy, he doesn't like me, etc. And it's like, yeah. All of these things that Toby knows firsthand that just didn't help. It's like, for someone telling you, yeah, like keep talking, someone will listen, it's like that sounds like some bullshit to a kid.
Yeah,
who's like, I, you know, how many times do I have to tell you?
I saw my friend tell an adult,
yeah, right,
and get dismissed.
Like,
yeah,
they get dismissed. Yeah. And it's like,
no, go ahead.
No, you feel for Rick in that situation because it is like he did try to reach out for help and he was dismissed. Like he was not heard.
Right.
And it's like it was because of who he was, not because of what he was saying.
And no, I, you know, we've had this conversation a million times by now, you and I, Avis, but like mm-hmm. ultimately Rick is responsible for his actions.
Yep.
Yes.
And he was failed by so many adults.
Yes.
Very many.
And the treatment that he got was not okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like we get that brief interaction with Jay and Alex, and Alex being like, well, I need to talk about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is fucked up kind of thing. But it's like this situation encompasses so many different people, but it's all the people that came to unite against this one person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing the aftermath of all of these people, and it's not that it was misguided, it's just like they're like bullying someone is always misguided, but like their anger toward Rick was not misguided. They were right to be, and they had a right to be angry for what he did. But when they took it to that level of bullying him on a mass scale, they united themselves in a campaign of violence. And it's now like rippling through the entire school. And now everybody feels like they played a part in it.
And he should have never been back at Degrassi to begin with.
He should have never been there to begin with. I think that that's the biggest thing. Sorry, Michaela, I didn't hear you.
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing. Absolutely. Oh. Yeah.
It's like sometimes when I talk, it's like I hear like the last three words of what you said. But no, I feel like I feel worse for Toby in this situation. Because he must feel like it's like everybody against him. And even like, I think that's my gripe with JT in the beginning is like, like shooting hoops with a literal infant.
Right.
Like,
why are you think like it's like you're too cool for cool. I've said that before. Too cool for school, and you're above the friendship that really is the only reason. Like, Toby elevated his social status. At least he was a nerd with a nerd.
Yes.
Toby did. Like, if Toby was like, fuck you, I don't want to be your friend, it would have just been like JT by himself, and would have like eventually had those social connections and made those social connections possibly. But I think Toby raised his stake, his stock. He put him around Paige. He put him around Ashley. He put him around Terry. Like, Toby, would have organically hung around those girls anyway. JT would not have.
Exactly. Well, and when Danny's like, Toby's a geek, he always has been, like, I'm sorry.
Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you, bitch?
Yeah.
We just met you. Like, 6 episodes ago. Cunt.
Right.
Yes. I really don't
Did
like
you just
this.
Call a 14-year-old boy a cunt?
Yes, and I stand by it.
I'm here for it. I am fucking here for it.
He's acting like a cunt. It's the worst. It's like but it's also giving, you're my only friend, and if you
leave, I have nobody.
I have to say, Tiberius may be a family name, but naming
but you don't need
James
to go by
Tiberius,
it. Yeah,
was 100% Star Trek driven. 100%.
Call it, Caroline.
They could have named you, you know, Jeffrey Tiberius, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't be as dorky mm-hmm. as James.
I just mm-hmm. love the way Manny says it at him, not to him.
Manny is such a fucking play. She came to fucking play. She's like, I've got ammunition.
The like emotional maturity there of like, Manny's like, no, Toby, you are sad. Your friend died. Like, that's okay. Of course she goes to the funeral with him.
I know.
I love that. It's actually the amount of times I replayed this scene in it's the episode before last of ours, when they're doing the kissing competition and mm-hmm. Manny walks by. She's like, oh, poor baby, anything I can do to help? And like the way that she kisses his elbow and like walk, it's so cute. And it's like not even like, I don't think, you know, there's no sort of romantic chemistry. I just love how like sweet that interaction is. It's so cute, and it's the cutest thing how he like, it's like like, I gotta kiss from it. Like, it's so cute, and I love how she goes to the funeral with him, and she supports him. Like, you know, once he sees Rick's mom, she's like, we can leave.
If you want to leave, we'll leave.
We'll leave. Like, it's, she's a real one. She holds him down. Yeah. And I mean, JT, of course, like him needing to get a push to do the right thing. Yeah. Mm-mm. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like it, JT. That's your oldest friend. That's basically, he was your only friend for a long ass time.
I don't like it, but I do ultimately like that he does come through.
Yeah. I understand his point of view to an extent, but I also think he's been acting like a little shit this whole, like, for a little bit. Like, not even this whole seat. Like,
forever. He's never been a particularly good friend to Toby.
But yes, I appreciate him coming through at the, the 12th hour. Nice. Better late than never.
Yeah.
JT. Was there anything else? Alex, girl. I talked about Sharif, baby, but I'm not happy.
No, Alex is struggling.
I'm not happy.
She gets pretty scot-free for the most part, too.
Doesn't she, though?
And she does, and I think she's struggling with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the way Jay just snaps at her, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, what you going to talk about? Like, yeah. If you don't shut the fuck up, Jay, just because you have literally no conscience.
No, he's a psychopath.
Just like a fucking psychopath. Yeah. No, the way that they definitely have dropped the psycho word a couple times.
Yeah.
In this episode. And I that's what they refer to Rick as, I feel like, almost exclusively these days.
Yeah.
Have my feelings about that.
not, you know.
Yeah.
Not great. Not great, but it's fine. It's not fine. Not great. Do better. No, I mean, there's many more creative things you can call him.
Yeah.
Maybe not as PG as that is, but yeah.
Well, yeah, no, and he's not a psycho. He's an abusive asshole. Like, let's not armchair diagnose people, especially when we're in high school and we don't understand these fucking terms. Do I have any more notes?
Yeah, let me actually do a note scan as well.
No, I think we covered all of mine.
Oh, I did. This is a very dumb point, and then, yeah, I'm good. When Toby is looking at the shrine right before he talks to Manny, and there's a poster that says, "What happened to Grassy?" What the...
That was left by somebody who was out that day.
That was left by Paige. Not Paige. What? Well, yeah. No, Paige was there. It was left by Manny and Marco. What happened to Grassy? I was not here yesterday.
This was before cell phones and Facebook, wasn't it?
like what happened? Just a big poster. Like, stand around like, help. Yeah. Just found that weird, like right next to like a picture of Jimmy or whatever, like a little poster board with Jimmy's picture on it. Like,
no, I love stuff like that though. Like, did either of you ever watch the show Revenge?
No,
that was on longer than I thought it was on.
Yeah, it's on way longer than I thought it was on.
Yeah,
there's an episode where like the main girl's dad is like, there's a news article about him. And the headline is David Clark, why he did it and why.
They figured you weren't going to read that. So they didn't have to print.
Well, because it didn't used to be that we could like pause, zoom in, pause, take zoom a screenshot. In. Nobody's getting out the Kodiak disposable and wasting a disposable camera click on, you know, the news and the TV in the 90s. Do we want to transition into segments then?
Yeah, I'm good to go to segments.
My fashion corner is weak.
Same.
Girl, listen, now I got tree screenshots. Tree. That's it.
Yeah, I've got four, but one of them's the same, or two of them are like the same outfit. I just like saw a better shot later on.
Yeah, yeah. All right, do you want to... Well, mine comes at like right at the top of the episode.
Okay.
It's Ellie's kilt.
Yeah.
I took a picture of that with white lettering. I noticed that Ellie washed her hair.
Finally. Her hair looks really good in this episode. Yeah, it does. Her hair looks real, like she just got that shit recolored.
Like, it's been looking so stringy and gross. Lovely.
It's got buoyancy. It's beautiful. Like, she's got volume. But what I really like about this outfit is the half hoodie. It's got like, it literally looks like she might have thrifted, or it could have just been at the time where they were making clothes that looked like you could have thrifted it. That had, it has half one side of the hoodie that's gray and has like a decal of some sort. It's some sort of design. And then the other half is black. And it looks good on her. It looks like something she would wear. And she's actually kind of matching.
Yeah, it's one of her better outfits. And her hair looks really good.
And it's good because she wears it the whole episode.
And Sean's face in the screenshot that I grabbed of it is glorious.
Those blonde tips.
The blitz.
Did he get those retouched? Because I'm noticing them more in this episode than I did last episode. But yeah.
Michaela, what do you got for fashion?
I also liked Ellie's outfit, but I really loved Manny's shirt with like the lips all over.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It was one of mine.
She's working it. Yeah. I love that.
And it was
and no hat.
Yeah, it was nice to find out. I just found out recently that they all got to like dress themselves on the show.
Mm-hmm. To a degree, it actually, Shane debunked that for us.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, it was more you had, like, your options of, like, you know, like, here's your couple of, like, casual wears to choose from.
Gotcha. That's cool. But, yeah, it was definitely, like, typical Manny style, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much. And yes. One for sure.
We've been really loving her fashion this season. It feels more her than the Gone Girl, Wrong Girl era.
And the jeans. Can I please point out the fact that I always wanted to wear these jeans, but my mom never let me buy them because she said, no, I do not want to see that amount of skin when you're wearing a pair of jeans.
Yeah, so it's weird, like, how much bare midriff we see at Degrassi. I feel like
this is against all of the codes, but at least the codes at my school. But I like, because it's like the bandana cut.
Yeah,
where you have the point at the bottom and then the lace-up pants instead of a zipper, y'all. Yep. Y2K is back. I know they're doing this. I know they're doing this. This is like the thin, this is like a fringe piece, like that sort of thickness, and you weave it in to the crotch area, and you.
You guys, you don't have to pick up this trend if you don't want
you
to.
You can There's leave lots it of there.
Cool Y2K shit.
Because unfortunately,
if you want the low riders, fine, but like,
right? I don't see how you, I never saw how you wore underwear with this. I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. My foot swim it, to be honest.
And I would chafe.
Yes,
like crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, but beautiful, like, arrangement, and it's very much a better era for her. Like, this looks something she does not have to change out of, like, when she goes home.
Right.
They're probably like, what the fuck? But she's not changing anymore. She's like, this is what it is. And it's not giving them a heart attack. It's just like, I can see a lot of your belly.
Yeah.
And so some of your, you know, hip bones down there.
My last one, I had both of those, and then my last one was her funeral outfit. And Manny's, I don't feel particularly strongly about it one way or another. Like, it's cute, it's casual, it's a weird choice for a funeral.
Yeah.
I like the sleeve detail, but that made it look like a track sort of suit.
It's very, like, dressed down. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. I don't think that a funeral is the place for, like, wear a full top or wear high-waisted jeans or, like, a skirt, maybe. Like, a skirt would have been nice. I'm not like, cover it, but it feels odd in this setting.
Yeah, everybody's dressed in, like, proper funeral clothes in the background of that.
Right. And, like, this JT guy just shot up your school. You don't need to, like, dress to the nines or anything.
But I mean, the JT seems to, like, is just miraculously perfectly dressed because he came right from school and this has happened. Like, he looks funeral appropriate. All he did was straighten, not even, because his collar just looks askew as it did prior. And this screenshot I'm noticing. Oh my gosh, look at his sleeves, guys.
Yeah, no, he just, like, turned his sweater vest into a sweater. And was like, I'm ready to roll. It works. It works. He looks respectful. He looks the most respectful of the three of them, really.
He does. Do you have another one, Michaela?
No, that's it.
Okay. My last one is Emma's. I specifically like the blue, like, varsity looking cut shirt that she has on. It's like the powder blue, I guess, maybe a little bit like I don't know. Whatever color it is in between blue and purple at the sleeves. And then it's like a white regular top. But I, for some reason, only got the screenshot of her with the jean jacket on. And I don't like it as much. Usually I love a jean jacket. But I think in combination with the gray, I always forget the name of these because I hate them. What are... Capris. Thank you. I don't wear capris anymore. I'm glad they died. Please stop bringing them back. Yeah, the gray capris are not doing it for me. And I think she has on, like, black clogs. So,
well, and it's
that is also
to be a darker wash. If it was a darker wash,
it needs
wash,
to be a darker be wash. Right. Yeah. I think so. It would be less offensive to me. But the fashion is, I mean, and it's fine, guys. Your school just got shut up. You don't need to be strutting down the runway, I guess. It's fine. Except for Ellie. Unless you're Ellie and this is just your episode
right,
where
and
you
then you're
have
just like,
the
I
best
shine
fashion.
Today.
I was shining. I got my hair recolored. And a blowout. Like, Ellie's thriving in this episode until she's not.
Yeah.
That is my fashion.
Should we head over to where the shots are fired?
Yes,
I got a lot of those. What I lack in fashion this week, I make up for in shots fired.
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
So we usually just kind of round robin it or back and forth it and hope that it stays somewhat in order at least. And if you want to bring us in with your first, we'll go from there.
Oh, God. My first one's kind of a little bit like mid-episode, but...
Do you want us to take the lead then and you can jump in?
Yeah.
Okay. Avis, what's your first one?
I have Sean in the trauma circle with Sauvé. And he says, I am Sean Cameron. I want some chocolate milk. And I need the stupidity to be over.
That was my first one, too. My next one is Jay to Emma saying, just running the battery, Greenpeace, pollution-free.
Yes. I actually have Jay before that saying, 60 minutes of Sauvé saying, blah, 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 it's okay to cry. Jay's such a dick.
He is. Yeah. He really, truly is.
Yes.
Also, Emma, to yours says noise pollution, but that's not why I'm here.
I have,
like, she's still got a sense of humor.
Right? I have Sean throwing that monitor to the fucking ground.
Sean's fucking fed up.
Yeah, a lot of hissy fits this episode.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hissy fits this episode.
I have Jay when Sean hops into the front, you know, the driver's side of his car, like, where to, Bam Bam?
And Michaela, let us know when you're ready to jump into the circle.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I got Jay when they do get to Sean's trailer, and he goes, is it a house? Is it a lunchbox?
Yes, that was my thing. And then Sean's like, it's where I was born.
Right? Like, can you turn the shit down for a day? Dude, I just killed somebody. Like, yesterday. Or this was, like, Friday. Like, Jesus, Jay.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I have when they're at the beach and Tyler, like, pulls up on his jet ski and Jay says, who are you checking out? All I see is some guy.
When Tyler goes, I recognize the eyebrows.
Yeah.
I actually have that full exchange, and I think it's worth going over of, like, yeah, so dude's like, you know, the papers think you're some kind of hero wrestling gunslingers, and Sean goes, didn't know you could read, and he goes, saw your picture, recognize the eyebrows.
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
It's so good.
Yes. I have Tyler saying, pissed, go on, sucker punch me in the other ear and flee town. That's your move, isn't it? Like, he's so...
It's so, yeah.
And also, I think he says this right after, because they're like, how much is the jet skis? And he says, free for you, trailer park boy. Wouldn't want to steal your lunch money again. Oh, really? Ooh.
Manny telling JT, okay, you outgeek them all, James Tiberius York.
Yes.
And then she sits him down with the, now I remember why we broke up. You just can't be the bigger man.
Yes.
Also, her calling Danny
Webster. That was, yes, I was about to say, if you hadn't have ditched him for Webster here, he would have never hooked up with Rick. I was like, why does she throw him back to Webster? I'm done. Do you have any more, Caroline or Michaela?
No.
I do. I have one more.
I have one more, too.
Okay, you go ahead.
I have Sean's dad saying, so how long till the cops get here?
That was mine, too. We're not normally so in sync.
We're not normally talented. There's just a lot of like,
they're so good. Like,
they are. Like, y'all are really coming for the chest in this episode. Like, this. Yeah. Like, the way that he was, like, about to just run back in the car when he said that. Like, wait, yeah. hang on. I'm doing too much. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, son. You know,
I'm sorry, son. I fuck around too much, you know.
We have, like, we're talking generational trauma here, Sean. Your daddy needs to heal, too. And now it's time. And your mama. And now you're going to heal together.
Oh, my gosh.
No, fucking... Saw your picture, recognize
the eye,
and the delivery. I want so much more.
Why couldn't Tyler transfer to Degrassi?
Paige at Banting and Emma at Smithdale. Why the fuck couldn't we visit with Sega Beach a couple of times a season?
They didn't know they could yet. They didn't realize they could do that.
And have the technology for that kind of trip.
They're like, can we do that?
It's too far of a drive.
Like, no. Too expensive. Can't shoot at a beach every other week. I don't have the budget for that.
I want so much more time. I know he's a very minor character, but like,
he's lovely.
If we could find a movie where Tyler is in it and did that for Film Club,
track down Tyler. Like, I'd be down. Because you know what? If he is this good, if he like as good as he was in these like three scenes, he can carry a movie.
We get so much story in these three scenes. He and Sean hate each other. He's got to save Sean's life anyway. Somehow, even though Sean was the one who deafened him. Him saving Sean, all debts have been paid and they're cool now.
To lovers.
Yeah.
It is enemies to lovers. And I'm here for it. I mean, and you can't tell me Tyler's not a little, like, he could play gay.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be there for it. You deafened me in one ear, but I saved your life because you're dumb and don't know how to operate a fucking jet ski. But we're even now. It's cool. I've seen the stupid. I just smacked the shit out of my heart. I've seen the stupidity. That's what happens when you talk with your hands, guys. I've seen the stupidity of my ways. No, I want more of Tyler.
Yeah, me too.
It sucks. We do not get more. We could maybe tack them on to Degrassi Diaries if we want.
Mm-hmm. We could. I was thinking that too. We gotta write Degrassi Diaries first.
What's that TikTok sound? Diet of hunger. That's the with the energy we need to be writing this series on. Yeah. But did you guys want to talk about our shining stars and our super bummers?
Yeah, what do you want to start with?
I feel like...
It's been a heavy time at Degrassi as of late. Let's go ahead and get the super bummers out of the way.
Yeah, because...
And end on a higher note.
I feel like... Obviously, Jay.
Top of my list.
Obviously, just the worst.
Danny is a super Danny. Bummer. Ellie's bumming me out.
I'm gonna throw JT on there. Looks so good.
I'm gonna.
She might have
JT
even got a cut
there,
two on there. Yeah, JT's going on there.
Star for like most improved super bummer.
Yes. Most improved, but yeah, he's going on there. Yeah, I would put Ellie on there, you know, for that whininess, but also because she had the nerve to go to a stylist. In between these, did you just worried about the complete wrong shit? The complete wrong shit. So therefore,
everybody else is at the hospital.
Ellie's out here. Like,
I gotta go get a blowout.
Candlelight vigils and shit. Look, Ellie cannot wash her own hair. She gets it washed at the salon once a month, okay?
Oh my gosh.
She cannot afford to go one more day with that greasy ass hair, so. Did you have any more super bummers to throw in the mix, Michaela? I feel like we just steamrolled that segment.
Oh, Sean's dad, obviously. for the first half, you know? He's like, no calls. It's like, the phone works both ways. Like, why aren't you calling your son? I'm not understanding. But other than that, no, I had all of the same as you guys.
I have one more, and I can't believe I'm saying this, and he's not even actually here this week. He hasn't been here in a while. Fucking Tracker Cameron is a super bummer this week because where are you?
Damn. Missing in action. And you're...
I'm sorry, if Katie fucking Matlin
can
come home because Maya's a little depressed. I mean, she's a lot depressed.
She's a lot depressed, but still.
Tracker, yeah, where the fuck Cameron, are you? Patron saint of Degrassi siblings, should be fucking here for Sean right now. He killed somebody, maybe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Make yourself... Not even
a phone call? No. Fuck you, Tracker. I'm mad. And it hurts.
That's fair.
That's why
I understand. I'm
so, that's why I'm so mad about it.
Yeah, so I guess... now Shining Stars?
Yeah. Let's let Michaela lead the way.
Yeah.
I really did like Simpson. I know he was only in it for like a couple minutes, but I loved his effort in it. And he's like, you know, obviously we're not like labeling Rick a monster is not like the way to go, and I'm like, you know, this is nice because everybody has so much like resentment and anger towards the situation, and Simpson is trying to figure out how he can prevent it from happening again, which is good, you know, like you don't see that from most teachers. They're just don't, I mean, they care, but they don't try to put an effort in to change things from happening, you know?
Yeah, no, Simpson's definitely on my list.
Yeah.
I mean, Sove is enough Manny. Of a reoccurring character. I'm going to put her on there.
Sove is doing some trying.
She's doing some heavy lifting, and I know we probably have argued that she's navigating with very little resources, so she is doing the best that she can, and it is not easy out here. Manny, totally. I agree with Manny.
Oh, Caroline. 100% Manny. Yeah.
Manny really is coming through for Toby, and someone who she doesn't even, like, she has a long-standing friendship with. Like, they were a foursome for a long time, the four of them, and I know that she still cares about him, even though they don't hang out on a regular basis. So for her to be like, your best friend just went through a trauma and you're not acting like he's your best friend, you need to step up and be there for him because you essentially ditched him and made him have to go find a new person to hang out with.
Manny is the kind of friend I wish I had.
Right.
Seriously.
She said she's that far high.
She does. She's very loyal. She's fiercely loyal. Yeah. And she's going to go to bat for those who she really cares about. Yeah. Which is like always a quality that I feel like is so hard.
She's not a girl's girl, but she loves her people.
She's not a girl's girl, but she loves her people. We know what she did to Ashley. We know that was not right.
Ashley's not her people.
Ashley is not her fucking people. No, she's not.
Anybody's people?
Ellie's.
Ellie's and Kate's. It's Kate's people. Yeah. Our mama.
I don't know. Craig her mama keeps coming back to her.
Craig loves something about her, but you know, Craig is also just a little bit like not a good source. Not a reliable source. Take that with a grain of fucking salt.
I gotta give it to Toby.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Toby was faced with like some really complicated shit.
Yeah.
And he could have like very easily just leaned into anger.
Mm-hmm.
Or just leaned into grief in like a weird way. And instead he was like, no, multiple things are true here. And that's really emotionally mature for a kid that age to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our boy Toby's got, he's had that emotional maturity for me since I think it was season 2 when Sean and Emma break up. And he's just holding Emma. And he's just like, it's the sweetest moment that he's like, this is not the time to shoot my shot. This is the time to be her friend.
Yeah.
And how many 12-year-old boys would be able to, you know, rationalize and make that show? Like, I've loved Toby since then. We love Toby on this fucking show. But he certainly holds it down for, like, trying to understand the situation. And he's not trying to, like, because everybody around him is telling him to be one way or this way. And it's like you said, it's a complicated situation. It's a complicated amount of feelings to have for someone. But like, he went into their friendship with an open mind. He didn't, like he said, he didn't know he was going to shoot up the school. Like, he gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
He tried to see him for a person who, you know, and gave him a blank slate, a second chance. And I love Toby for that. And he definitely goes through it this episode, but he shines all the way through. He does not bum me out in the slightest. He is the sweetest sweetie pie. And I wish I could give Jake Goldsby, like, I'm sure he still has those cheeks.
Oh, for sure.
Like, give me the cheeks. But yeah. Yeah, I think then there's just one question to ask. Does it go there?
Does it go there?
No, not really.
There's an aftermath of a shooting, Caroline.
I'm kidding. Of course it fucking goes there.
Girl, I don't even... Listen. Sometimes I'm sharper with your, you know... Sometimes you dry as hell and I really can't tell.
I know. I always forget that, like, not everybody knows how to take me.
Oh, I know how to take you. I just be like, sometimes I'll be paying you no mind. Oh, okay. Yeah, Michaela, you'll learn to pay on no mind.
Oh, no.
I'm like, yes, no, wait. Are you serious? No, you weren't serious. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
No, I've been munching on my pretzel. I hope it does not. I'm actually a little hungry. I hope it doesn't come across on mic, but I think I'm far enough away.
Mm-hmm. You can totally tell that I'm eating at some points of season 3. Because I was eating raspberries.
Not you can tell. I couldn't tell. And I edited this shit.
So then probably nobody else can, but I know.
You will know, Caroline, and you know, Michaela. You guys know. But yeah, I think that's all she wrote. Thank you so much for joining us, Michaela. We loved having you.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Oh, do you want to drop your socials?
Yes, drop your socials. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Mick Woods, MIKWOODS, or my professional page is at dreamscape.smithville, which is a bit of a mouthful. I'm also Dreamscape Smithville on TikTok as well.
Love it. We will have that linked in the show notes for you guys. So go and check out some of Michaela's work and, you know, just support.
If you find yourself friend of the in pad. Smithville, needing some ink, Michaela's got
right.
you.
Michaela's got you covered. So, yeah.
We'd love, you know, let us know if there's anything in season 5 that really speaks to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back. And
yeah, this has been a really pleasure. Fun. Thank you.
Chat about a not so fun episode. So
yeah. I'm sorry. No, anytime there's an awkward Degrassi run or jet ski, I'm having a good time.
You're having fun. I mean, the jet ski was a high point. That I will
say. Kelly running away, not moving her arms. I'm moving to Alberta.
Like, yeah. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Next week, we'll be having the first of many discussions about creepy teachers, as well as spending some time with the new and far from improved downtown Sasquatch in Neutron Dance.
This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Dreamscape Tattoo Studio, trauma and support from listeners like you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was like sitting on the edge of my seat there for a second.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Margot Mancini,
Evie Piscini,
Miranda Bickers,
Octavia Faith,
and June Bard.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Alika Fenderson
and Corey Newton.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. P-A-H-D-C-A-S-T. Thank you.